Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is Patty Black. I am back bringing the Good News Show to you. I want to express a great thank you to all of our loyal listeners who are here with us this evening. Usually the show is done early in the morning, and if you logged on this morning, you will have already known that we lost electricity and we had to stop the show. So let's just start the show again. I want to thank you for being on live with us, and you can call in the show while we are interviewing our guests. The call-in number is 347-324-5983. That's 347-324-5983, and we'd love to hear from you. So this evening's guest is going to be a very special person. Her name is Deborah Weed. She has written a book entitled The Luckiest Penny. And as I said this morning, you know, when you find a penny, you think you found a lucky penny. Well, she is calling her book The Luckiest Penny. So I think she's kicked it up a notch, and she's really going to show us how to have self-worth and love, and I really think it's going to be a great topic. So we'll bring her in just a couple of minutes, but first I'd like to bring on Sherry. Sherry, are you with us?
I am here. And hi, everybody. Thanks again for coming back and listening this evening live. I do want to say that we're very grateful to have Deborah with us tonight. You know, gratitude, the power of gratitude, and is so important. And, you know, what we need to hear more of is good news. And it helps us through the difficulties of our everyday life. And it gives us confidence to face the future. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what Deborah has to say, because her book is for kids, but it's not for kids. It's for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to be really inspired and hear a great message from her. So let's bring her on, if we have her on with us now, Betty.
Okay, let's see if we can bring her in just a moment. Hello, welcome to the Good News Show. Is this Deborah?
It is, Patty. And hi, Sherry.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Welcome to the Good News Show.
And we had quite the power surge today, didn't we?
Yes, as we found many lessons in the day, that everything happens the way it's supposed to. And I think it was even a good thing, because we were able to get the word out to a lot more people so that they're able to hear us tonight. So that's good.
I think it's the best thing that could have happened. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, how ironic. We're going to be talking about the luckiest penny. We had a power surge, which makes me believe that, you know, there was so much energy and so many people that needed to listen to what we were saying. We were waiting for the exact right time.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Everything is in order.
Yes.
So, Deborah, let's start out with, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
I would be happy to. But what I'd like to do is start with who I was, because I think now that the economic climate is like it is, a lot of us, you know, have lost hope or are trying to gain our footing. And that's why your show is so fabulous. It's concentrating on all the good things that are being brought by, you know, everything that we go through. So let me tell you a little bit about me. I started out on the top of the world. I was director of development for Citibank. I worked on a $26 million pavilion with Universal and Disney consultants. I was working on an unbelievable children's musical called The Sticky Bun Bandits. I had I was sitting down with some lawyers to go over a $1 million proposal. Everything was looking so rosy. And then everything crashed. And when it crashed, I had this mystery illness. And the mystery illness, they diagnosed me with everything from MS to cancer to it's all in your head. But there was no consensus from any of the doctors. And little by little, you know, when I used to go to a party, I used to be, this is who I am. I am the director of development for Citibank, or this is who I am. I am working with a $26 million pavilion. And little by little, I had nothing to back me up. I had no corporation or no exciting, dynamic company to accompany me to the parties. And while I was dealing with this mystery illness, I spent a lot of time in bed. And what happens to a person, whether it's a physical ailment or a challenge, any kind of challenge that we face, sometimes the word self-worth takes on a new meaning. And the word self-worth meant for me, what it meant for me is that I had nobody else to rely on. Because when you're sitting in bed with this mystery ailment, you do not know what's wrong. You get dizzy every time that you get out of bed. Your family starts to question you. Your husband starts to question you. You start to question yourself. It's almost as if that crash makes it so that you have to start to listen. And the listening is at such a deep, deep place that you finally start to hear Source, Spirit, God, whatever you want to call it. But it tells you to look at those things that are really of value in your life, those things that are really important in your life.
Wow.
That is, yeah, that's quite a place to be, because you're faced with what's important and what are your priorities.
Absolutely. And the reason that I started to write the book is because, actually, this is kind of a funny story. With all the big things that I did, you know, when I say big, they sound great on paper. I had this idea. I heard about these 1943 pennies. And a 1943 penny during the war, World War II, they didn't have, they needed copper. They needed as much copper as possible. So they started to make steel pennies. And some of the pennies, by mistake, were made as pure copper pennies. If you have a 1943 pure copper penny in your purse right now, it could be worth anywhere from $73,000 to $200,000. And it started to make me think, do you mean to say that a lowly penny that I would disregard, like I feel right now sitting in bed wondering what the heck I have, could be worth that much? And out of that whole situation, a story was born. But I kept on telling myself, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that important. It's only about a penny. And as I started to get my own self-confidence back, because I was finally diagnosed after 4 years, what the real situation for me was is that, like a lot of women, a lot of your listeners possibly, I had a fibroid tumor that was behind my uterus, four times the size of my uterus, and although I had been hemorrhaging daily, nobody checked my iron. My iron was at a 3, which means that I was practically comatose, and it was missed for all that time. When I was ready to get back into the world, my mom was the one who said, you know, Deborah, out of all the things that you've ever done, I really think that if you really want to inspire people, I think you should go back to the concept you had about two 1943 copper, pure copper pennies, and what would happen if one was totally shiny, never touched, encased in a plastic case its entire life, and the other one was tarnished because it lived fully.
Mm-hmm. So you are actually, the contrast of the two pennies, is that how you were finding yourself in your situation?
Absolutely, because I was thinking how many times, you know, when I felt like, let's call it the pure copper penny, and I felt like, you know, look at me, everybody wants to be like me. I have never been touched. I have never really experienced all that there is to experience, but I am worth so much money. I mean, that is what, you know, we aspire to. Our culture teaches us that that's of great importance. And it is important to, you know, try to make money. But what if you had another penny, a tarnished penny, who has been in the garbage can, and he's been somebody's lucky penny, and he's been in the washing machine on a roller coaster ride, and he's also been, you know, at the bank where he's made a lot of friends? What would, if they were both sold, what would be the outcome for each of them? What would happen to that shiny penny who thought that he's worth so much money? And what would happen to that tarnished penny who, I guess, in all honesty, is my autobiography said very easily, what would happen to that tarnished penny? And what would be the outcome that felt right for me, that was a message of hope and of love, and that would give both children and adults a sense of, oh, do you mean to tell me that I can sit on the sidelines and, yeah, I might not get dirty, and, yeah, it might really look good to my friends and everybody around me, but if I jump into life and I experience all that it has, you know, what are the possibilities?
Mm-hmm. Did you have a writing background before you did this? Did you have any aspire to do writing, or is this something that was it's a first time thought?
I had, as I had mentioned, I wrote musicals. The Sticky Bun Bandits was an interactive musical that I took all over town. We were in festivals and fairs, and I mean, it just blew up. It accelerated to the point where I really did believe that it would be a multi-million dollar franchise like Barney, or, you know, because the music was great, the children's reaction was fantastic. So I guess I've always been a writer, a storyteller. I've always been a storyteller. But I liked the big shebang, you know. I liked those things that were really exciting where people went, wow. So in order to write a story that's poignant, and, I mean, you know, I think one of the greatest compliments I've had from people who have looked at the book so far is they've said this is timeless and a classic. And if, you know, my child was born when your book was here, this would be one of those books that I would keep forever. I mean, that's, like, to me, the ultimate compliment, like the giving gift, something like that. I mean, if I can aspire to that. And I've worked with a writing group who has essentially collaborated and helped and tweaked and grown me as a writer. In fact, one of my friends, Ellen Brazier, has helped to, you know, all of us, Lily and Orlando, all of us helped to tweak it. But, you know, having that kind of support from other writers just hones your skill so that I can get not only the message out of hope, but make sure that everything is absolutely fabulous with the storyline. And then even more surprising or interesting is I'm an artist. I'm an award-winning artist. I do the Art of Bliss. And at one of the art shows, like today where the power outage went, I've never been to an art show where nobody showed up. But I was. And there was an 80-year-old gentleman there who I loved his artwork. And we got to talking, and I told him about my story. His name is Ernest Sokolov. And he told me about working with, you know, Columbia Records and Esquire and all these things. And then he showed me some children's illustrations, and they were magnificent. Now, here's a man who's 80 years old, and he might be overpassed, but I was put in a situation where I had to pay attention, and I did. And he has illustrated the most beautiful illustrations for the book.
Well, I did
see how the pieces were coming together for you. I'm realizing that as I'm listening to your story.
I think everything was in divine order, and I think that I, you know, sometimes in life, especially like I said, I'm sure there's listeners out there that might be going through a challenge, and you know they're listening right now to this show because they need a little bit of hope. And, you know, sometimes when you are in that tunnel, you cannot see your way out of it. And the self-worth, I think, comes by just taking baby steps. those little steps, one in front of the other, and not even knowing what's going to be around the next corner. But just, you know, people come into your life and they offer help and suggestions at just the crucial point where you keep on going. And then you realize when you look at a book or you look at an accomplishment or you look at something that just came from your soul with such passion and love, and you look at the end result and you go, this is a collaboration of the world. You know, I wish I could say I wrote the book. But in fact, this is a book that has been inspired by every person I've met, and I just happen to be the storyteller that wants to carry on the legacy that it's okay to jump into life. It's okay to get dirty. It's okay because each journey, each part of the journey is going to offer so much dimension that you can't even imagine. And that brings up even a stronger issue with me, and that is when I was very sick, people did not know me from my corporate background. They didn't know all of my accomplishments, so they only saw me as sick. And when I was very successful, they only saw me as very successful. People only see you where they meet you, it seems. They don't know your entire journey. They don't know what you're made of. And one of the reasons that I wanted to write this book is to show Henry, who's the tarnished penny, and his many incarnations in life. Like I said, being in the garbage can, being somebody's lucky penny, being in the washing machine on a wild roller coaster ride, so that kids can start to realize, even though it might be subliminal, oh, wow, there's just not one part of your life. It's different adventures that makes you rich.
It's what a powerful message. And we had an email that came in from Carla from Port St. Lucie, and she says, you know, about living your life to the fullest, that it sounds like that's what you're talking about, living your life to the fullest and being present 100%.
Whoever wrote from Port St. Lucie, you are right on. Living your life to the fullest is the key message, the experience, the wealth of knowledge. I mean, I wish I could give away the whole story, but I'd hate to do that because it would ruin the twist ending if you could consider a children's book to have a twist ending.
Well, that's great. I can't wait to read it.
Good. You're intrigued. You're intrigued. Well, I know that both of you are the luckiest pennies because I'm sure what motivated – no, I'm serious. I'm sure what motivated you to do this show is that every day you wake up by being reminded over and over again of people's stories, of positive attitudes, of, you know, coming from the grips of, you know, total destruction – you know, that people can rise again and again the next day and again the next day.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. We are so grateful and so blessed to be able to put something like this together because it's true. If those things that we hear, they ring in my ear all the time, and I'm always reminded about living in the now and about living my life to the fullest. And also, like, sometimes in making a mistake – in life, there is always a blessing behind that mistake. And even if we're grateful for the things that have happened that may not have been what we wanted, there's a lesson behind it. And we have to be grateful for the things that we have and the things that we don't have.
You are so right. And, you know, sometimes you don't see it for years.
Right.
I have to say, sometimes you might not see it for a while, because if you had asked me back then, would have I preferred to be working with people from Disney and Universal on $26 million pavilions, I would have said, oh, yeah. However, now I look back and I go, you know what? I have nothing to hide behind. It's just me. It's just me with so much love for everything that I've experienced, every person who's touched my heart, that, you know, now the story is coming from deep inside. And it's not to prove anything to anybody. it's kind of like to write. I first wrote this book. I'm sure your listeners can appreciate this because we all get started sometimes this way. I wrote this book to inspire myself on a mm-hmm. daily basis so that any time that I go, uh-oh, I'm in the garbage again, I can look at it and I could go, wait a minute, I remember being a lucky penny. I remember that feeling of, you know, having all of these emotions come to full fruition. And I must say one other thing, and that is so many people would say to me when I was, you know, and it turned out to be a, life-threatening crisis, but they would say, think positive. And, of course, in our culture, of course we want to think positive, but sometimes we don't feel positive. We feel really, really bad, and we just want to be understood. We just want somebody to listen to us and care. And I think that, you know, in this time, in our interesting times, you know, it would be wonderful if we take time to understand each other and give each other enough space to listen.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
It is so important just to be able to sit there and look at somebody, look in their eyes, and just let them know that you're present for them and that you're there to listen. That's a gift.
Well, that also, that just reminded me of what we saw with Joan Rivers and her nonprofit, where it's not, she said, it isn't just about delivering food to people who have AIDS and other illnesses. It's the going to their home, to looking in their eyes, to listening to how their day was. And that's really what people need, just to shift their energy and feel better.
Patty, you are so right. Both of you are so right. I've always thought, if, let's say, Mother Teresa or Jesus or, you know, Gandhi or anybody, if they came into a room, I can't imagine any of them saying, think positive. Not one of them. What I can imagine them doing is looking at somebody with so much love that person rises just because they know that somebody cares.
Right. Well, that's great. And also, you know, we have to not be afraid to leave our comfort zones. You know, so many people that I've seen and I've talked to, and They're in a place, they're on this little box that they call their comfort zone, and they don't want to step out and take risks. And that comfort zone is really their prison because they're not able or not willing to let themselves embrace life and to go out and take that step out there and see what the possibilities are, because there are so many possibilities that can happen. We don't know where it's coming from.
Sherry, did you already read my book?
No.
Remember your words. Remember your words when you read it. It's going to be very, you're going to get a kick out of what you said, because you said boxed in, right? Didn't you? Okay. I think you sneaked a peek, but I know you couldn't have because it's not out there yet. Interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
Well, yeah, it's just that it's like where we come from also, you know. And what I like doing is being around people that are like-minded, you know, because the more that you're around people that feel this way, it rubs off on you, and you're coming from that place of gratitude and joy. And every day it's about what you're going to give back and how can you help someone, instead of coming from that other place of negativity or what is in it for me.
Well, and as you look back at the story that I shared with you, when I was young, it was definitely what's in it for me. But I think that, you know, that's the great thing about a journey. It melds us and molds us and changes us and touches us. And if we really, you know, my dad, who I just, you know, I look up to so much, he always said, if you're in a basketball game and you sit on, you know, the bench, you will not fail. You're guaranteed not to fail because you're going to watch everybody else make the shot. And if you get in the game, you might not make every shot. In fact, you might make one. However, that feeling of exhilaration when you make that shot is going to be like nothing else in your life.
Right. Right. And, you know, you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Have you heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you know, the funny thing is that, and this is important again for, I mean, I just want to touch the listeners out there who might be going through something themselves. I had a really interesting thing happen. One time I was so sick. Everybody knew me as bubbly and happy. I was so sick I could hardly stand up. And there was a girl there who I was close to, and I didn't hug her. And she made that mean that I didn't care about her. And yet all the while, I was just trying to stand up and make it through, you know, the next step. So I agree with you wholeheartedly that first impressions are everything. But sometimes we don't really know what's happening in another person's life. We really don't know that they might have, you know, somebody with cancer in their family or, you know, God forbid, you know, there's so many things. We just see a person. We don't see everything that's circling around them. And it's so wonderful, or, you know, I would love to see this book open the communication about what self-worth really means and how do we get it from staying, you know, not necessarily polishing ourselves up pretty, but staying with who we are and just, you know, going with that.
Well, I think it's really, really great that you've written a book on this subject. And it sounds like, you know, being in action, being on the court, being in action, participating in your own life is a very strong message. And something I related to that you mentioned earlier was when you would go to a party, you could say that you worked for this and you did this, and that was your shield or that was your armor that you brought with you. And I relate to that because I worked for the Washington Post, and when I would go to parties, it would be, you know, I would just feel like I worked for the Washington Post, and there was some confidence in that statement. And now I'm with the Good News Show, and I do a couple of other things, and I'm really in action in my own life. I don't have that corporate veil to carry along with me, and it really makes a difference because one thing it's doing is it's allowing me to live my passion and to bring the Good News Show and to bring energy like yours to the show so that you can share it with other people. And I really liked what you said before.
That is so beautifully put. I'm, like, so touched. I just want to, like, record that and play it over and over and over again. That was awesome.
Good news is,
Thank you.
And you can listen to it as many times as you want. And everybody else can listen to it because it's all going to be archived and people can listen to it 24/7, and you always have something to bring back to. Oh, and you know you got to listen to us on the show. And so I have another email here from Deborah from Fort Lauderdale. She was talking about self-worth, and she says, "What do you feel about positive affirmations?"
Wow. Okay, that's going to be Deborah. That's going to be a little bit of a tricky question for me because. I remember when I was really sick and I heard that, you know, I'm well, I'm wonderful, I'm great, and I would try that and I'd look in the mirror and I would remember saying to myself, you're lying, you're not owning what's happening for you right now, and I would spin. So to answer, you know, I know that positive affirmations work for so many people. I know that positive thinking works for so many people. But for me, I learned a different aspect, which was positive action. Positive action changed my emotions. Positive action changed my chemicals. Positive action changed when I looked in the mirror then and I said, okay, I did this, this, and this. I really believed what I was saying as far as affirmation.
Mm-hmm. I like what you're saying about positive action. Because we can think and try and wish and hope, but if we don't take that action, it doesn't get done, and it doesn't. So it moves us to our next step.
Well, my dad, in fact, I'm working on two other books, but one of the books that my dad helped me with is, the name of it is, bear with me, How to Tame a Sometimes Ornery, Sometimes Jovial, and Sometimes Just Plain Baffled Dinosaur, or How to Master Your Emotions. And he gave me some tips that I think are amazing. And Ellen Brazier and myself are working on another book on autism, but going back to the one with my dad, I learned so much about, because positive thinking, I would sit there and I would try so hard because I knew that it was working for so many people. But for me, I would get angry at myself because I wasn't doing something right. And so then I'd get angry, well, gosh, you know, that's one more thing to beat up myself about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. We have to take responsibility for where we're at that time and,
yes,
and acknowledge where we're at and be able to accept where we are at that moment. And I think acceptance is a big key to being able to free ourselves up so that we don't hold on to the resentment and you know, all those other negative emotions.
Acceptance is brilliant. I think that is so well put, and I hope, Deborah, that is so well put, because once you accept where you are, you can listen. If you're like struggling to get out of something and out of something and out of something, you're putting a lot of concentration on that. And that was one of my hardest lessons, is to just sit in it, you know, take action, positive action, and then everything shifted. So I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Well, also one of the things that, you know, that we talk about a lot on the show is finding the joy in your life and what gets you up in the morning, you know, what motivates you to get excited about getting up and getting out of bed and it's, you know, finding out what your passion is and what is that joy for you in getting up in the morning. And it all fits into kind of what you're talking about and what your book is about, and being able to come to those awarenesses.
Well, thank you for asking me that, because I might give you a very surprising answer. I think the first thing is just getting up in the morning makes me joyous. From where I was to that is huge. That's like huge. And then on top of that, to have a book that you are so passionate about, when I read it to children and I talk to grandparents, because it's really intergenerational, it's very, and it starts the conversation about self-worth, and I see the magic start to happen right in front of my eyes, I feel like I'm on purpose. I feel like everything makes sense. You can't imagine what it feels like, or maybe you can, because I just, you know, heard what both of you were saying. When you have something that you know might inspire somebody, give somebody just a little bit of a nudge, just a baby step to say, it's okay, I can do this. I don't know, it just makes me fly. And the other thing that I've noticed as being an award-winning artist is that when I get really happy about, you know, what I'm doing, magic happens. And it's just like miracle after miracle. Things come out of nowhere. And it just proves to me that when you really are in your element, doing what you were meant to do, and going back to my dad, he always said, whatever you were born doing when you were a child, like, you know, 5 years old, is probably who you should be now. When I look back at who I was then, I was kind of like a little social worker. I was always concerned with all the other kids. And I also was an artist. So here I am at my age, going back to what I did at 5.
It's very cool. So I was just thinking, you know, thank God for Facebook, because I just hope that everybody that's going on to Facebook this evening was able to see my blog that I said about you and the show, and that it's such a great vehicle to put out, you know, to put out into the world and let people know what's going on. So I do hope that we get a few people that are watching and listening and tuning in from that vehicle. About your book, when is it coming out? What, tell us a little bit about that, and also
how can people contact you or give a website address so that they
yes.
can order the book? Let's get that information out there.
Perfect. It's www.theluckiestpenny.com. Pretty simple. Theluckiestpenny.com. And it will be coming out. It's at the printers right now. It will be coming out within a month, I believe. And right now I am, you know, doing a lot of readings. I'm getting involved in a lot of organizations. I want to inspire. So I am actually, you know, even though it hasn't been printed yet, I am still doing a lot as far as motivational speaking. I guess my vision is to, you know, speak to anybody that wants to hear what I have to say and really make it as interactive as possible so that everybody has something that they can take away. And I'd also, just like you said, Sherry, I would love to have new Facebook friends of anybody who's listening. So my name is Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Weed, W-E-E-D, because as I go on my journey, I sure want to hear that other people are taking the same kind of leap of faith.
Oh, that's great.
Well,
I want to congratulate you on completing your book, and it sounds like you have two more coming down the pipeline. I am just really happy to hear that you're in motion, you're moving forward, and I saw your website with some of the pictures for your book, and it looks adorable, and I'm just anxious to see it.
That is what you are so kind.
Will you be doing going to different bookstores and talking about it and presenting it? And
I am going to be doing that, but and it may be because of my marketing background. I've got some amazing ideas of how to launch the book. Like I said, one of my biggest missions is to start an intergenerational, or maybe I didn't say it loud enough. Now I'm going to say it loud enough. To start an intergenerational conversation about self-worth, because parents are wonderful, don't get me wrong. I'm a parent too. But grandparents, they came up with different, let's call it money values and core values. And when I take the book out to children, the first thing I do is I show them a shiny penny in one hand. These are kids that are about 5, 6, 7. Well, no, not the 7-year-olds, they get it, but, you know, a littler kid, a shiny penny, and then I show them a tarnished penny, and I ask them, which one is worth more? And they say, the shiny penny is. So they already, and after I read them the book, you would not believe what they say about money versus what maybe we would think is more valuable. So just opening up that dialogue in creative and dynamic ways is going to be wonderful. So, yes, book signings and, you know, the traditional routes are wonderful, but wait till you see what comes next.
That's exciting. Well, if there's anything along the way that we can do for you, you make sure that you keep us in mind. And,
you better believe it. You guys are great.
Thank you. And we're just really happy that you were on the show. Before we sign off, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I would just like to share that my tagline for the book is self-worth has no price tag. Let me just say that one more time. Self-worth has no price tag. I really appreciate you listening in. And Sherry, Patty, you guys are great. I love the feedback that you were giving me. And keep up the good work. We really need to change the whole energy of this planet.
Oh, thank
right.
you.
One step at a time, one person at a time. It's all coming together, you know. It's that the energy that keeps coming when, you know, different people get connected. And it's a great thing to just sit back and watch how it happens, because when you're in the flow of life and you just let things happen, and you kind of, you know what your goal is, or you know what it is that your intention is, and the people that you're meant to meet are put in your path. And it's so amazing how that happens.
There is not even a question. I know that I'm here on the phone with you today because of a friend that was out there, and you know, these things all come together, and I'm just thrilled. Thank you, really, really thank you from the bottom of my heart for having me, and I really look forward to everything that you're going to be doing in the future.
Oh, good. Well, good. And we hope to have you back on the show sometime in the future, too, Deborah. Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night.
You, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, what a great interview. Sherry, that was great. That was
and it was great energy. I love being with that kind of energy, you know, because you just feed off of each other, and there's so much to talk about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's I know that it was interesting that, and how I've been so fortunate to find the people to come onto the show that I want to hear about, that we want to hear about, and that somebody just came up to me and said, I think I have somebody that would be great for your show. And a lot of times that's how it happens, you know, or people will call us and say, you know, how can I get on your show? And we want to put that out there for anybody listening. If you have something that of interest, something that you want to get out to all of our listeners, please be in touch with us. My personal email is share4hair, that's C-H-E-R, number 4, hair, H-A-I-R, at AOL.com. And we would definitely be looking for anybody that has a positive story, a healthy lifestyle, something exciting that they want to talk about. We're open for it all.
Well, that's right, Sherry. We're open for it all. And we have a couple of minutes. I just want to share a little story with our listeners before we go. Years ago, I started a coin collection, and I went out, and I bought all of these silver coins. And then when I got home, I opened up the packets, and I had this silver polish, and I polished all these coins. I spent hours and hours doing it. And then I got out the book and started reading, and it said, in coin collecting, you don't polish the coins. It makes the value lower.
Oh, my God.
And I had ruined all the coins. So that's my story I wanted to leave with the listeners, because I love the title of this book, The Luckiest Penny. And that's food for thought. Thanks for being with us, listeners. We'll see you next week.
And everybody, go into your coin collections and look at your pennies for a 1943
copper penny.
Copper penny. It's worth a lot of money.
Got to go get my purse now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great night.
We love you, listeners. Bye-bye.